The weather today, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, high near 76, light southwest winds. The chance of precipitation is 80%, and a new rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible when they're in the thunderstorms. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. Be mostly cloudy with a low around 64, calm winds, and about a 30% chance of precipitation. Tuesday, a slight chance of showers, then it'll be partly sunny with a high near 83, light northeast winds, and the chance of precipitation is only 20%. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61 and calm winds. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 84, calm winds becoming east around 5 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 58.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and I have my co-host with me today, Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses, use our own phones, etc. And what we try to do is help people who either have a mental health issue or families who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue or families who know someone or is good friends with someone or work with someone who have a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We have what they call a family-to-family class, which actually is starting this Thursday in East Main Street in Flemington from 7 to 9:30, and it's a 12-week course, and it covers just about everything on mental health. It covers what to do, what not to do for a family member in a situation, what to say, what not to say. It covers medications, side effects, and it gives the person – the family member an opportunity to feel what it's like to be in the person's shoes who has the mental health issue. We also run a support group for families once a month, the third Thursday of every month at East Main Street, 52 East Main Street in Flemington. We have a lot of different courses. We try to help sponsor the CIT course to help law enforcement better knowledgeable about mental illness and when they get a call to respond to a house with a mental health issue. So basically everything is free. You don't have to pay for a thing. If you take the course, it's all the pamphlets, the folders, everything is free. So if you have to reach out and want to reach out or you have a problem or you need someone to talk to, you can call 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24/7, but someone checks it at least once a day, and we guarantee you we'll be back to you within 12 hours. Okay, we have with us today a very special guest. We have Carol Ricard, who is a licensed clinical social worker. Carol is also a tobacco treatment specialist who has written over a dozen publications and conducted national training workshops on stress and wellness. She has also written 9 books.
Well, I actually have 12 written now.
Whoa. Well, tell you where I've been. 12 books. And Carol is a popular speaker and trainer at all types of conferences and events. She's also the founder and CEO of Wellness YOU Diversity, LLC, which is a global health education and training company dedicated to empowering people with the tools and support to achieve a lifelong wellness. Carol is also someone I consider a close, close friend. Carol, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
It's been I always look forward to coming here.
Yeah, it's not been all that long, but it's been a while.
Well, since I kind of bailed out on you.
Yeah, so. Well, we're not talking about that. Right. we won't discuss that.
Okay.
Are you still on the board of the Trenton Hospital that you were on when you were dealing with parity and stuff
like that? I am still a board member of the Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance of New Jersey.
Okay.
And that's who I deal with parity with.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Would you like to explain the parity and how is it going and stuff?
I would love to explain the parity because that's a word that actually not too many Americans know. In fact, there was a study in 4% of Americans know what the word means. But what's really interesting about it is that I'd say it's probably the most historic legislation outside of JFK's back in the 50s, you know, in creating community treatment when it comes to mental health. And so the parity law, which is the Mental Health Parity and Equity Addiction Act, MPEA, they call it. But anyways.
Another acronym.
Yes. It's, you know, but really basically what it says, Larry, is that we have insurance plans and they have to treat our mental health and our physical health equally. For many, 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 many years, myself included, back 25 years ago at the beginning of my own personal recovery, that didn't happen. I can remember having a very distinct mental health deductible that I had to meet, which was higher than my other deductible. So if I wanted to go, you know, for medical stuff, I had to pay $250 before they, you know, fill in. For my mental health back then, it was $500. And so yeah. What the law, the parity law did, it kind of said that we have to treat our physical health our mental health no more restrictive than our physical health. And then unfortunately when the law was written, there were lots of loopholes. And so there was lots of ways that, you know, the law, you could kind of like blow through it. And quite honestly, the Affordable Care Act really strengthened it because what it said is that anybody that has an insurance plan, you know, on the exchanges, they also have to cover mental health benefits. Because that was one of the ways they got around the old law. Mm. If I didn't offer mental health benefits, then I didn't have to worry about the parity law. So right. I could just not offer mental health benefits. So they didn't, which was even worse because if you're an employee and you need mental health benefits and treatment. And so the Affordable Care Act actually really strengthened the law. And it's what it said was that basically you can't just treat half of the person. You have to treat the whole person, right. Meaning your physical health and your mental health.
Do you find that more doctors are refusing to take insurance because of that?
No. Doctors refusing to take insurance, unfortunately, the parity law doesn't help with that aspect.
No, it doesn't.
No. No. That's where advocacy, that's where we really need to get, you know, to become advocates. Interestingly enough, DBSA is doing a study right now, a national study for
DBSA,
anybody.
DBSA, for those that don't know, is?
Yeah, DBSA stands for Depression and Bipolar Support Alliance. Okay. Thank you, Larry. Yes, I'm not
I hate acronyms.
I'm
sorry.
I know. So, but we're actually currently just launched a national survey so that we can get people to, because we all know, those of us, you know, looking for psychiatrist and those of us, because full disclosure, you know, working in the field as well, that's a problem. And so what we're hoping to do is capture, you know, the data. There have been a couple agencies that have done what they call secret shoppers. Mental Health Association of New Jersey did this back a few years ago. And quite honestly, it's been so many years, I don't remember the numbers, but they went through a plan's book. They called all the psychiatrists listed, and the percentage of them that weren't, even the phone lines didn't go through, was high. The percent that weren't taking new patients was very high. And of the percentage, which was little, I want to say in the 20% that actually were, you had to wait 3 months. And so we know there's what they call a network adequacy issue. And so what we're hoping to do is capture it with people who've had the lived experience, not one of these secret shoppers. Because they repeated a study just recently in D.C. and found similar results. You know that, oh yeah, I forgot. The people that were on there, how many of them were dead too? So, that's another issue that we still really need to raise our voices to.
But, you know, it always bothers me that someone who is in a hospital, state hospital, and they've been in a regimented situation for a long period of time, however long they've been there. They take their meds at a certain time. They do this at a certain time. They're regimented. Regimentation. They get discharged. They tell them they have to, you know, go to a day program or they have to see a psychiatrist, blah, blah, blah. And like you said, it takes them 3 months to get an appointment.
Yeah.
And in our county, there was a informal survey done. I won't say by who. No, seriously. But the county should have 39 psychiatrists. They have 5.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand why it takes 3 months to get an appointment, because if you got 5, you know, and you should have 39, you know, it's another reason why the hospital, the local hospital, went into telepsychiatry.
Yep.
Because the psychiatrists were working like 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And they were on call 24 hours a day. So now if they have someone after 6 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock in the morning, and they have to have either a prescription run or a commitment issue or whatever, they do it through
the telepsychiatry.
Telepsychiatry. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
And the telepsychiatrists are licensed in the state of New Jersey. They may be in New Brunswick, North Dakota, but they are licensed in the state of New Jersey. So
it's not just New Jersey though. I was at a great workshop on Friday at Seton Hall, and we had speakers from California, New York, Illinois, and. You know, and just overall in general, that psychiatry is, you know, not quite held to esteem. And it's the whole system, you know, because I'd heard a story of a psychiatrist that had an older adult psychiatrist who spent 2 hours on a report for a senior citizen and was paid like $80.
Mm-hmm.
But if you took this other medical specialist, you know, like internist or whatever, that same 2 hour report would have been covered at like $170.
Right.
And it's kind of from the inside out. And those of us that need to use the system know how broken it is.
And unfortunately, as many loopholes that we have in New Jersey, we are a lot better than a lot of other states.
We are.
Including New York.
We are.
And, you know, so that's,
yeah,
you know, kind of.
Which is why, you know, I was really skeptical when it first happened, but we started having some nurse practitioners, you know, that could actually prescribe medication.
Right.
And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know about that. And I'm just being completely honest. I mean, I knew too, you know, and as I got to realize is that they can be a really critical piece of treatment.
Right.
Absolutely. And that, again, just like a psychiatrist who kind of specializes in psychiatric meds, because I always say to people, you wouldn't take your Porsche to the Ford dealer. You know, they both know engines, but the Porsche person's going to know the Porsche engine a little bit better than the Ford mechanic might. And I look at medications the same way, you know, that right. It's very good to go who knows what. And have come to really appreciate that nurse practitioners, in fact, I've worked with quite a few that have gone on to school, and that's what they're doing.
Right.
And
right.
Thank God for them, because I'd hate to think of the mess we'd be in even if we didn't have those.
That's true.
You know,
that's
people.
Very true. You know.
Yeah, the parity law isn't the magic wand, but
well, I don't
it's
think there's ever going to be a magic wand.
It's a
wand,
good start, you know, it's a good start.
Well, that's good. Now, you, the Harvest of Hope.
Yes, the Harvest
the Wellness
of Hope.
Conference.
Yes.
You want to speak to that and tell us when it is, where it is, what's it going to cover?
Yeah, I'd love to tell you. I think it is the 8th annual Harvest of Hope. And what it is at NAMI Mercer, so Mercer County's NAMI, which is very different than Hunterdon's because they do have paid staff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're
like,
a lot bigger than we are,
they're big
too.
Time, you know.
Well, they have a lot more population than we do, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I got to tell you, you guys do a tremendous amount of work over here in Hunterdon, which is why I kind of like being involved with both. But so Harvest of Hope is a wellness conference, and it's held in October, the first weekend. So it's going to be October 1st coming up. So that's a week from this coming Saturday. And it's a pretty good bargain. $15 gets you in. We have a keynote. We start with a keynote. And the gentleman that's going to be our keynoter, his name is Kevin Hines. And he's actually written a book. He's also produced a documentary because he is one of, I think, a handful of people that have jumped off, one of five maybe,
right.
They've jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived.
Right.
So looking forward to it, but what our chair had shared, having read his book as well, that he was basically kept afloat by SEALs until help got to him, and that he pretty much broke every bone in his body, and since then has become an advocate for suicide prevention, and they're working on a project at Golden Gate Bridge to create a safety net or some way that they could actually take and make it much safer,
right.
Not giving people that opportunity.
And he was, when he got off the, he took a bus to get to the bridge, and when he was on the bus, he was crying, he was all distraught, and not one person said anything
to him. Wow. I did not know
that. And he
that.
Said that. It is,
yeah. Yeah.
Then he gets off, and he's thinking, well, if just one person speaks to me, I won't do this.
Yeah.
Well, once one person did speak to him, you know what they said?
Probably.
You want to take my picture? That's exactly.
Wow. So did you read his book or did you watch
said.
The video?
I'm sorry?
Did you read his book or did you watch the video?
A little of both.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's...
He's our keynoter, and, you know, we're just really excited, you know, to have him. And then we'll do a workshop in the morning, and I think we have like five or six that people can choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin is actually doing a workshop as well.
I think that one's going to be well attended.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then we have lunch, so it includes lunch, which is really always a really good lunch. But did I mention breakfast too is included in that? And then in the afternoon, and then we're actually going to close. Sometimes we close with a big event. In the past, it's been a drumming circle, not this year. NAMI Mercer is making it kind of a documentary, and so we're gonna screen that. So our last kind of get together of the afternoon. So it goes from I think like 8:30 registration to about 3:30 is.
And where's it held at?
It's in the Presbyterian Church on 206 in Lawrenceville. So if you've ever been on Route 206 driving through Lawrenceville, guess what? There's this big, really big white church, old. Talking about history, wow. And so that's, it's just kind of right there. And, you know, it's a great, I mean, if anybody was interested, they could visit, I guess, NAMIMercer.org's website, and there'll be a little thing there that says Harvest of Hope, and they could get more information.
Are you speaking there?
I am doing afternoon and morning workshops. Somehow I'm doing two workshops.
I just happen to know that you were involved in that somehow.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you, I don't remember all the workshops off the top of my head, but we do have Ask the Doctor workshop, which is Dr. Comrade coming from New York. And he'd been a keynoter for us back a few years ago and written a book for family members, you know, about communicating and how to kind of intervene.
Right.
And then my workshop, I'm doing one on parody. And then the other one I'm doing called how to get the book you've always dreamed of, how to get it published. So going to be teaching people how they can actually, because I've met so many people. And when I worked, you know, I'd had patients that had so many stories that really needed to be told. So I would share this information with them there. So it's a chance to share with people how to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. But
it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing I've always loved about the conference is that it's always been focused on wellness. And I think that's, you know, just a critical part.
It is. Very critical. Do you have any questions, Tracy?
I'm just taking it all in, and it sounds very interesting.
Yeah. So, and it really is the bargain of the century, you know. Get your breakfast, lunch, you know, workshops.
For the meals alone.
You had a question before about conferences and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, I wanted to hear a little bit more about the workshops that you give on your own. Do you have?
Yeah, well, I just love being able to. So my dream has always been to take the work that I did in a hospital for 25 years and really teach people those very same tools. And you shouldn't have to land in a hospital to learn them. So that's what led to me creating Well University. And then I am just busy around doing training and speaking for organizations and even businesses, and kind of focusing around stress, wellness. Actually, some of them, I've done some really new ones around self-care. Actually, I did one recently for Children's Home Society of New Jersey. And so, you know, I kind of just try and get in and get wherever I can get people to do some learning. And we've done some fundraising, like we did for NAMI back, you know, about a year ago Yeah. And so I just love being able to, because, you know, when you think about healthcare, I'm working on my next book. It's called Health 2.0, you know, and it's a revolutionary way to take care of yourself. And the idea is it back when the day when medicine was still medicine and doctors got to doctor, they used to teach these things to people. You know, they used to teach people how to live well and be well. And I know because I saw my father do it. You know, I mean, he passed away when I was young, but up until 14 years of age, I used to see people come in and get well. And they don't practice that medicine anymore. They don't get the chance to practice that medicine anymore.
It's like write the script and send them on their way.
Yeah. And yet there's so many more tools. I mean, medicine is a great tool, but there are so many other tools people need to live. So I love being able to go into organizations or businesses and just bring a book to life. So.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up, but, you know, you're also big into helping people quit smoking.
Yeah.
As an ex-smoker,
You did it the hard way, Larry.
Well, I did it.
You did it. Cold turkey.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't actually that. They put me on a gurney, turned me upside down so my head was facing the floor, and they told me the only time they could scrape my vocal cords from polyps was once. The next time they'd have to take them out. And with my big mouth, I couldn't have anybody take them out and talk to a thing. You don't know. That couldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I do know, and it's a proven fact, and I'm sure you know, it's a fact that a lot of people with schizophrenia smoke.
Oh, yes.
Because it helps quell the voices in their head. Doesn't stop them.
Right.
But it quiets them.
Quiets them down.
Right. And how do you, with your book that you wrote about smoking or not smoking, how do you handle that situation?
Well, what's interesting about that, and here in New Jersey, Dr. Jill Williams over, you know, at UBHC or UMDNJ, mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is now, but she's done a tremendous amount of research and had great progress, you know, utilizing nicotine replacement therapy and support groups for helping individuals diagnosed with severe mental illness stop smoking. In fact, their choices, I was just reading somewhere, they're actually getting, I think they're getting a SAMHSA award for choices, which is consumers helping others. That's, I forget what it is, but it's been a really kind of like a pilot program for other programs around peers, helping other peers, you know, living with mental health conditions really stop smoking. Honestly, the thing about it is that nicotine ends up being the one thing that kind of quells, you know, some of the voices.
Right.
And whether it's in a cigarette or it's in a patch. The thing we know about cigarettes is that it's going to take 25 years off of an individual's life living with severe, you know, mental illness. A nicotine patch, so far, isn't going to take any years off your life.
Don't smoke with the patch on.
Well, actually, that's the old school. The new school is if you smoke with the patch on, oh, well, you know, maybe the next time you won't pick up the cigarette. In fact, the
FDA... I know someone who smoked with a patch on and almost died.
Well, I tell you what, it
had a severe heart attack, and
it probably wasn't the patch and the smoking though, because the Food and Drug Administration has changed the labels, so it no longer says don't smoke and wear this. No longer do this. I mean, it might have been for this particular person, but the Food and Drug Administration actually.
Trust me, I witnessed it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you don't know because maybe he could not have been smoking and still had that heart attack, too.
That's possible.
I mean, but you know. But that's that. I guess it's for me, too. You know, if you look at where it's come from, there's a lot of research to show that, A, this thing called NRT, which is nicotine replacement therapy, and support, you know, go hand in hand to really help people. Because body goes through 2 hours, and you would probably know this, but after 2 hours, a smoker's body starts to go through withdrawal. And if you've ever been around anybody, I can remember my sister who tried to quit smoking a gazillion times. Oh, my God, they're the worst person to be around at the time they're trying to quit smoking. And it's a lot of withdrawal symptoms.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yep. And that's why I said you did it the hard way, because I know that...
Well, I know to this day, and it's a gospel truth, to this day, if someone is near me, and they light up a Marlboro, I have to walk away.
Yeah.
First of all, I've got a very addictive personality. That's why I don't go to Atlantic City. And I don't care. I don't want them to put something up closer.
Yeah.
The other thing is that if I stayed, I would be back. And that's been 28 years that I quit. And, you know, I'd be back in a heartbeat. You know, so if somebody likes a Marlboro, I walk away. I can't stay there.
Right.
But what about these, what do they call them?
The e-cigarettes?
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're scary.
I don't know. What about them?
Well, what about them is that e-cigarettes are where regular cigarettes were back in the 50s. Completely unregulated. Completely, you have no idea what's in them, right? And yet, look at where we were 50 years later with cigarettes and what's been found out. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was just in 2016 some kind of law that changed around e-cigarettes, and the Food and Drug Administration is going to begin monitoring or I don't know. I don't remember exactly what it was, but connected to e-cigarettes, because they've done some studies, and I saw this on the Food and Drug Administration's website, where when they tested it, they found radiator coolant, you know, the stuff that's in radiator coolant that's in there.
Yeah.
If somebody came to me, honestly, if you said, Carol, this is your family member, you got a real cigarette or you got an e-cigarette, they're going to pick one, you know. Back me up against the wall and I'm going to prefer they take the e-cigarette over the real cigarette. Because there are 7,000 compounds in smoke of a real cigarette. And that's what makes secondhand smoke so dangerous, is because I don't have to
yeah,
smoke that.
Right.
So, I mean, push to comes to shove, but preferably I'd rather have somebody be on a little nicotine patch. And here's the problem. People tell me, Carol, I've tried that nicotine patch. That didn't work for me. Well, no, it doesn't, because it may not be enough. In fact, if I've smoked a pack a day, all right, and I'm pretty good at taking a drag on my cigarettes, that could be up to 40 milligrams of nicotine that my body is used to every single day. Now, if I put one little 20 milligram patch on my arm, guess what? I'm 20 short. And it's not going to work, and I'm probably going to pick up, you know. So you have to balance that out, and it's okay to do that too. You know, the Food and Drug Administration has also not said, oh, you can only use one substitute. Mm-hmm. So now you can have the patch and you could use the gum at the same time. What we really have to do is to keep the person from going through withdrawal is balance it out. Nicotine, right. And then slowly kind of bring that back down again too. So there is kind of a weaning off that a person can do. Yeah. And hospitals help, because to some degree you can't smoke when you go in the hospital, and they're beginning to kind of create those opportunities for people to learn about.
There's a lot of places you can't smoke anymore, which is
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I think the educational piece about it too is what's really important. In fact, the Joint Commission, that's one of their markers, whether or not hospitals now are assessing smokers and what are you doing about it? You know, are you offering them, you know, the opportunity to quit or to learn how they could quit?
Right.
So,
and the Great American Smokeout is in
November.
November.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. Yeah.
Oh, that's coming up.
You know.
I usually get busy thinking about that in October.
But you made a good point about people suffering from schizophrenia, how the patch it really helps them in two ways.
Yes.
Because now it helps them stop smoking, but it also helps quell the voices.
Yeah, in a healthier, much healthier sort of way. But the other thing you have to be very careful about, too, is that if you have somebody who's on a lot of, you know, kind of like mental health medications and they stop smoking, well, you got to be in contact with their doctor, because now they're not going to need as much medication. Because the other really good point about quitting smoking too is that people will now be on less meds,
right?
Because the whole metabolism is affected by the nicotine. Mm-hmm. And so
that's right.
Which is, I remember I had a colleague who's no longer alive, who actually ended up having lung cancer and, you know, went through her treatment and radiation and complications of that she died from. But I remember saying to me, she quit, and I was amazed because she'd been a hardcore, you know, almost all of her life. And she came to me, she said, Carol, you know what? I'm starting to gain, I'm afraid of gaining weight. I don't want to come off the patch. And I said, then just stay on it a little while longer, because she could. Because there's that substitution too. And that's the other big piece to me, Larry, I like to focus on, is if cigarettes have been one of your tools, and for a lot of people, they're one of their survival tools, their stress tools. Well, if you take that away, the accidental fill-in is, oh, food, you know, which is why instead of picking up a cigarette, they pick up food. And for me, it's making sure people have other tools to pick up and use to deal with stress rather than substituting it with the food. And that to me is, you know, one of the most important points, along with this other piece, which I think gets missed, which is why I wrote the book, which is, I picked it. It's called The Benefits of Smoking, Why It's So Hard to Quit and What You Can Do About It.
Yep.
You know, hoping that it would just challenge, you know, a little controversial, but I'm not encouraging people to smoke, but I want to honor the fact that there's benefits. It's your stress tool. You know, it keeps you from going through withdrawal after 2 hours. And the third thing is, for a lot of people, it's their only friend. It's there when they need it, you know. And if we don't take care of those things, then people go right back to it. So,
now, Carol, were you a heavy smoker at one point?
I didn't smoke ever.
Okay.
I had a father who died from lung cancer.
Right.
And then I also had a mother who was a smoker who died from cancer. And so for me, I used to be one of those kids with my window cracked, you know, in the back of the station wagon and my mouth to the crack trying to breathe in the fresh air, you know, that was going. My brother was a smoker. And then he stopped, and then he started again, and then he stopped. So he's stopped this time, supposedly. But, you know.
Oh, I know about stopping and starting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think it's between 4% and 7% the number of people who will quit cold turkey, you know, successfully, their first attempt trying to stop smoking.
Well, that wasn't my first attempt,
but it made me quit. I got to tell you, Larry, though, it's usually those consequences where the consequences, you know, the costs outweigh the gains. And for you, the cost was, I'm not going to have a voice.
Yeah.
So kind of can be very sobering and motivating sort of fact.
Yeah.
And the other
couldn't do this radio show.
Well, no. And I think the other important point you said, though, is that for people that kind of whose brains are wired that way, you know, which is just that chemical sort of need,
mm-hmm.
you make a choice to walk away,
right.
you know, when you're around that. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, that speaks a lot to what you do. It's your behavior as well. So there is no magic pill or
nicotine
patch.
No, but I know me, you know, so if I don't walk away, I'll be back, you know, and I don't want to be back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, you have a book, The Caregiver's Toolbox.
Yep.
How to Manage Stress.
Yep.
Want to explain it and what inspired you to write it?
Well, so for me, I mean, stress, managing stress and tools have always been, you know, important. And I got inspired because I went to a NAMI New Jersey Caregivers Conference in, I think it was April, maybe. And the woman speaking was really a great speaker, but I walked away feeling a little disheartened because it was all stuff you'd hear, you know, not practical stuff, you know, uh-huh. like all of these good, you know, take care of yourself and, you know, eat healthy and, you know, make sure you exercise. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what? Caregivers need more concrete tools. So I decided to take one of my other books, which was Life Tools, and then kind of add a little bit to it because I realized sitting there in that conference, I was a professional caregiver at 14, when I was 14 years old. You know, my dad died and my mom got really sick. So I decided, all right, well, I'm going to take this and kind of give it to people, more practical things rather
right.
than just eat well
right.
and get lots of sleep. So I wrote, it's actually two books. It's called Stretched, Not Broken, A Caregiver's Toolbox for Reducing and Managing Stress. And then the second one is the Toolbox. And it's just a little primer I came up with just to keep the good stuff close to you, you know, without all the rest of the words. It's just the tools.
Okay.
So, you know, so far, I mean, I've actually had a few people do book reviews on it and caregivers and, you know, kind of felt like it gave them some hope because it really gave them specific things they uh-huh. could do. I'm really excited about that. And actually tomorrow, which is September 20th, September 20th. Going to be doing a community workshop for Capital Health at the Hopewell campus there. And so I'm actually doing a workshop based on this book.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Because I think.
What time?
It's 6. It's a little surprising because I had to look and I caught my attention because I'm used to things starting a little bit later than that, you know. But, 6 o'clock at the Hopewell campus. And they're taking registrations, but I encourage anybody even to just show up because we're using the big room. We got space and I've got lots of extras, supplies. But because I think the thing to me, I remember back being with my mom, and that's what brought me to New Jersey is to be a caregiver. You know, she ended up having quadruple bypass surgery, and I came back to take care of her, never intending to stay. But then I fell in love with the East Coast.
Here you are.
So, But we can have tools we use, again, that aren't very healthy tools.
Right.
And it's about using the right tools to, I mean, you can, you and I mean, Tracy and I have little glasses, so we need to have one of those little itty-bitty screwdrivers around. Otherwise, we're going to be in trouble. So it's having the right tool for the job, and not the same tool fits for everybody.
That's true.
So, and I think the thing about caregiving is that it's well, it depends on A, who you're being the caregiver for, you know, and B, the condition. Right. Because I was in a recent article on Dr. Oz, and it was Lisa Gibbons talking about her mom and her grandmom's dementia and the Alzheimer's, and how, to me, that's even a double loss, because you're dealing with the loss while the person's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of almost a double stress whammy, right, in a sense.
Hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And our special guest is Carol Ricard, who I consider a very close friend. And we were talking before the break about caregivers and their stress. And I don't think people really realize that how much stress a caregiver is under. And that many times they don't know what to do. They don't know what not to do. They may not understand what their loved one is going through. So, you know, I know my mother had started getting dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't take her in. We had four, my wife had four young kids and stuff. So we had to find, you know, so we had to put her in a nursing home, which was the nursing home was great. The people, right, and the staff and everything was fine. But you could see she was deteriorating, you know. And, you know, she, you'd go visit her and She'd say, oh, you know who came to see me today? No, who came to see you? Oh, so-and-so. We had breakfast and did that. Well, so-and-so died like 10 years
right.
prior to that,
right.
you know. And,
right.
you know, I'm going, oh, yeah, Ma? Okay. Yeah, good. I'm glad you had a good time, you know. And I'm going,
That's the loss before the loss, Larry.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
And I think is that, to me, one of the most other important things a person can do is utilize any type of support group. Because being around people that, when you say that, they kind of can, I say, we all need to be around people that are speaking the same language. And if that is around having a parent in a nursing home, you know, and going to visit them and seeing that kind of deterioration, I tell you, one of the things, it's almost like kind of a little delusion, you know, where you think it's reality, but it's not really reality based. And guess what? It is to them. I remember our secretary's mom, you know, and she worked because her mom went from being in her home and they would kind of go by and take care. And then over the course of a couple of years started to deteriorate and needed to get into a home and found, you know, a good place for her to be. And I remember her going and her mom make this on top of it. Her mom was blind, too. But she remembered one story. She told me she went, yep. She went to visit mom and mom said, oh, guess who came by? See me today. Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ann just said, well, so how's Oprah doing?
Well, that's what I said.
Because you can't, it doesn't, does no, not do any good just to join where they are.
There's no point in saying her friend died
yeah.
10 years ago.
No,
yeah.
I mean, because, you know, yeah. she had breakfast with her that yeah. morning.
And an enjoyable morning, too.
Yeah,
but,
you know, so.
But
hey,
I think what's know. Really important is being around people. You can share that story and somebody kind of can relate to that. And I think that's where caregivers, and you don't have to go to it somewhere. I mean, just hop on the computer because one of the things that we can take advantage of is technology. So there are, you know, ways to get support because I honestly think that being a caregiver out there all on your own is a really lonely, hard road to go down. When you can get some support.
In the last 2 years of her life, she wouldn't talk.
Yeah.
And I'd go visit her, and she'd look at me with those, you know, like anger on her face, like, what did I do? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I go, I talk to her, and she wouldn't look at me. She would look at me, but she wouldn't talk
yeah.
to me, you know.
Yeah.
And it got harder and harder to go, you
yeah.
know, because.
Did she know who you were, even?
Oh, yeah. She knew yeah. who I was. Everybody yeah. else she didn't know.
She didn't.
You know, like her grandkids and my
yeah.
wife and all that she didn't know. But me,
yeah.
she knew. You know?
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
It's
it is what
being,
it is, you know.
Well, and
so.
I think being a caregiver is one of those cards that you're, you know, you just kind of don't get to choose it. It happens to you.
Right.
And you can get so lost in taking care of somebody else that you forget to take care of yourself.
Well, this is what we preach so much to family members who have somebody with a mental health issue in their family, or son or daughter or whatever, sister, brother. You can't take care of the person who has the mental health issue if you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I always tell them, take 15, 20 minutes, if you can, a half hour or an hour a day, to do something that you enjoy.
Yep.
If it's walking the dog around a block, that's fine.
Yep.
You know, if it's sitting on the porch looking at the stars, that's good. You know, whatever. Whatever you enjoy. Reading a book, you know, watching Oprah Winfrey, if that's what trips your trigger, you know. But it's something that you should do that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And even if it's only 15, 20 minutes.
Yep. Your point, even if it's just 15 minutes, and I will even go so far as to say, I don't care if it's 5 minutes. 5 minutes is better than none.
Right.
Because if you're dealing with a particularly challenging situation, you take the person who's working all, you know, working.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have their parent that they're being that caregiver to.
Right.
You know, that, listen, even the 5 minutes. But here's what I found. I had a patient one time. When I suggested to her that she practice what I call self-care,
uh-huh.
she said, oh, no. And so I, working in women's trauma programs, I learned this early on about the old oxygen mask thing and traveling in the airplane. And so I used that on her. And she says, oh, no, I couldn't do that. And I said, well, why not? And she said, that would be being selfish. And And there are some, I've run into people that if they take care of themselves, the lessons they learned, the language they learned was that, you know what, you take care of everybody else first before you take care of you. And so I gave her a new word, and I like to share this word. It's called selfness. That when we're being selfness, we're taking care of ourselves to be there to take care of others. When we're being selfish, we want other people to do what we want them to do for us. And there's a very big difference.
Right.
That if we don't practice selfness, and that's what I love about NAMI and NAMI's philosophy with families, is really about empowering them to be well, you know, as you try and help and support somebody in their journey to becoming well.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's not always an easy journey.
It's,
you know.
Nope.
And a lot of times it's not. You know, and that's why it's even more important that you take care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, we've had people, many, many people over the years, they'll get over it here. You know, it's not a cold.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get over it in a week, you know, or 10 days or a month. It's a chemical imbalance of the brain, okay? You're not going to get over it. You can live through it. I know a lot of people who have mental illness and have gone on with their lives and made a great impact on society and what have you. You know, we give presentations and we show, well, I don't, but Alicia Stevenson does. I do them with her, and she has this PowerPoint.
Yeah.
And she's got screens of people, famous people with mental illness. And one of the ones that always jumps out at me is Buzz Aldrin.
Yep.
Here's a guy that walked on a moon.
Yep.
Traveled in space, suffers from severe depression.
Yeah.
You know, and you can go on and on. I mean, you know, Winston Churchill is another one. He carried England on his back for 7 years, and he's suffered from major, major depression.
Yep.
You know, Jefferson wouldn't come in this room. Too many people.
I learned that one from you, yes.
Yeah, it's fact. If you ever get a chance, and that's for anybody, if you ever get a chance, go to Philadelphia, and it's a thing called the Freedom Trail. And you walk around these various, you know, historic spots, and they'll talk to you about Jefferson and what he did and, you know, how he lived and so on and so forth. And many people don't realize he never went into the Continental Congress. When he was writing the Declaration of Independence, he'd write 3-4 pages a night. He'd get a hold of Franklin, Ben Franklin. He'd meet him on an isolated street corner. He'd hand him the 3 or 4 pages. Franklin would go in and present it to the Continental Congress. Because Jefferson had, I have trouble saying, agoraphobia, I think it's called, a fear of a lot of people.
Right.
In the closest of a lot of people.
Kind of almost like social anxiety,
He could stand on a balcony. Yeah. He could talk to 5,000 people.
Yeah. Yep.
But he couldn't walk in a room with 8 or 5 or 10,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's just
pretty amazing.
It is.
It, just,
it really
it, you
is.
Know.
You know. And
We've come a long ways in understanding, you know, mental illness. I mean, there's still for some people long ways to go,
right.
You know, to get that. But if you think about it, we just one body, you know, and so it's just like your health, and your health is, there's a physical piece of it. There's this, you know, kind of mental piece to it, but it's still one body, one person.
If someone wanted to reach out to you for presentation, advice, or whatever.
Yeah.
How would they do that?
Well, two ways. One is, you know, giving me a call, which I have a very easy phone number to remember. It's 888, and then the word life, and the word tools. So that's one way kind of to reach me. And then the other, I think, would be kind of go into the website, which is www, and then it's WELL, and then YOUINESTY. Yeah. Yeah, kind of like the word university, but just put a Y and an O in front of it. It looks good on paper, but not when you're telling it to somebody.
It's YOUNIVERSITY.
.com. Yep. And actually try and do one free workshop a month, and kind of let's see what we're doing in October up there as well, like a webinar. So.
Well, I can't tell you how happy I am to have you back on again. And you know you're going to come back.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I just love coming here. You know,
We enjoy having you. And, you know, do you have anything you want to add or question?
No,
or?
Thank you, Carol, for being here. It's been enlightening.
Yeah, so if anybody's, you know, near Capitol Health tomorrow, Tuesday, September 20th, 2016, just because, you know, you could be listening to this, you know, a year from now. Come by, because we're going to be doing our Stretch Not Broken, really caregiver stress workshop at 6 o'clock.
All right, and the phone number was 888?
Life Tools.
T-O-O-L-S?
Yep.
All right. Website?
Well University, WellYouNiversity.com. Yeah.
Well, thank you, folks, for listening. And, Carol, you're going to definitely come back.
Oh, absolutely.
And I hope Tracy comes back, too.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Great to get to meet Tracy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
I'm quiet now, but. Just wait.
Just wait.
That won't last long, will it?
Good.
No, that's good. But you've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The FBI, the New York City police, other police, and even citizens calling in tips resulted in this very rapid, at least partial solution to this crime.
New York Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler praising New York City and New Jersey residents and helping them track down the suspected terrorist behind the bombings in New York. Ahmad Khan Rahami is in custody after he was shot during a shootout with 3 New Jersey police officers. Police say that the officers will be okay. At the White House, spokesman Josh Earnest says the Obama administration has ISIL on the run.
We continue to apply significant pressure to ISIL leadership. We continue to make grounds against ISIL on the ground. No longer is this a terrorist organization that's on the march. This is an organization that's in retreat.
President Obama says the U.S. should remain tough and vigilant but not fearful when it comes to terrorism. In reference to the weekend bombings in New York and New Jersey, he said it was a relief no one was killed. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
While much attention was being paid to the attacks in New York City, a terrorist attack in Minnesota was thwarted by a part-time police officer being hailed as a hero. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
He